You are listening to the audio production of The Wholesome Doctrine of the Gospel, Faith and Love in the Writings of William Perkins, introduced and edited by Andrew S. Balich and J. Stephen Yule, published by One Audiobooks. This book was originally published by Reformation Heritage Books and is read by Jonathan St. John. The Piety of William Perkins, 1558-1602. Coinciding with the years of Elizabeth I's illustrious reign, 1558-1603, is the life of one of England's most influential theologians, William Perkins. Scholars have described him as the principal architect of Elizabethan Puritanism, the Puritan theologian of Tudor times, the most important Puritan writer, the prince of Puritan theologians, the most famous of all Puritan divines, and the father of Puritanism. Some have gone so far as to include him, along with John Calvin and Theodore Beza, in the Trinity of the Orthodox. Perkins's stature as an eminent theologian is noteworthy, given his less than auspicious start in life. He was born to Thomas and Hannah Perkins in the village of Marston Jabbett, near Coventry, in Balkington Parish of Warwickshire. Very little is known of him until at 19 years of age he enrolled at Christ's College, Cambridge. The university had been a major player in the English Reformation. From 1511 to 1514, Desiderius Erasmus lectured in Greek while preparing his translation of the New Testament. Within 10 years, William Tyndale prepared his English translation from Erasmus's text. By the 1520s, Martin Luther's works were circulating among scholars. In 1534, Cambridge accepted Parliament's Act of Supremacy, thus recognizing the king as the head of the Church of England. And in 1549, the Divinity Chair was offered to Martin Bucer, thereby demonstrating the success of the Cambridge reformers. It was at this decidedly Protestant institution where Perkins began his lifelong studies in 1577, entering Christ's College as a pensioner, suggesting that socially his family stood on the borderline of the gentry. Perkins soon made a name for himself, but not for the reasons we might expect. Quickly the wild fire of his youth began to break out, notes one biographer. Another declares that he was profane and prodigal and addicted to drunkenness. But Perkins eventually came under the godly influence of Lawrence Chatterton, his personal tutor, Richard Rogers, Richard Greenham, and others. More importantly, God began to work in Perkins's heart, producing deep conviction for sin. Benjamin Brooke records a particularly noteworthy incident in which God brought Perkins face to face with his wretchedness. As he was walking in the skirts of the town, he heard a woman say to a child that was forward and peevish, "Hold your tongue, or I will give you to drunken Perkins yonder." The exact details of this story might be apocryphal, but the reality of Perkins's personal transformation was certainly real. Burdened with the weight of his sin, he turned to the Saviour of sinners. Surrendering his wicked ways, he soon joined Chatterton, the Pope of Cambridge Puritanism, along with Rogers, Greenham, and others, in a spiritual brotherhood. With renewed enthusiasm, Perkins devoted himself to his studies, receiving his bachelor's degree in 1581 and his master's degree in 1584. He was an industrious student. According to Thomas Fuller, Perkins had a rare felicity in speedy reading of books, and as it were but turning them over would give an exact account of all considerables therein. He took strict notice of all passages, as if he had dwelt on them particularly, perusing books so speedily one would think he read nothing, so accurately one would think he read all. Perkins's ministry. At some point during his studies, Perkins began to preach on Sundays to the prisoners at Cambridge Castle. Apparently, he pronounced the word damn with such an emphasis as left a doleful echo in his auditors' ears a good while after. Moreover, he applied the terrors of the law so directly to the consciences of his hearers
Sample complete. Ready to continue?